Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. So over the last many years, the term New IFB has been used to describe our church, Faith Forward Baptist Church, a lot of other churches that we're friends with, people that are like-minded, other pastors that are like-minded, just to sort of differentiate our style of fundamentalism from what's often been called the old IFB. You know, there are some doctrinal differences. We have a different view on the timing of the rapture, different view on Israel, different type of soul winning program, etc. So that's just a term that has been thrown around. It's not like an official group or anything, but you know, people that are like-minded with us are called New IFB. But what I've noticed is that a lot of people who claim to be friends with us or claim to be friendly toward us will then just constantly be ripping on the New IFB and just talking about how bad the New IFB is and how much they don't like the New IFB. And then when they're called out on it, they'll hide behind this thing of like, oh, I wasn't talking about you. I didn't mean you, Pastor Anderson. I didn't mean your church. Oh, I didn't mean that pastor. I wasn't talking about any of the pastors. I just meant the people. Okay, well, those are our church members. Those are people that we love. Those are our friends. You know, the New IFB is becoming just a code word for people who actually hate Pastor Anderson, Pastor Mejia, Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Shelley, go down the list, you know, and they actually want to rail on our churches and our church members and us, but instead of having the guts to call us out by name, they just use this vague heading of the New IFB. And then when they're called on the carpet, it's like, oh, no, no, I was just referring to, you know, a certain element or a certain type of people. Let me just make this real clear. If you say something negative about the New IFB, if you get up and say, I hate the New IFB, or I don't like the New IFB, or man, the New IFB is just filled with jerks, and the New IFB are some of the worst churches, the worst people, the worst families. If you say, you know what you're saying? You're saying that that's me, that's my church, that's my friends' churches. You know, obviously that's directed at us because we are the New IFB. You know, and when you make these general blanket statements, and I'm not talking about statements that say, well, you know, there are certain people within the New IFB that are X, Y, and Z. I'm talking about just blanket statements, just the New IFB is this. Oh, no, no, I wasn't talking about you. That's baloney because guess what? You were talking about me. You were talking about my friends and my family and everybody else, okay? Because that's what we are. We are the New IFB. So, of course, we're going to take it personally when you're just constantly ripping on us, you know? Recently, this bozo preacher said this, New IFBers are some of the nastiest, crudest, most unmerciful, venomous people. So, New IFBers in general are just some of just the most venomous, worst people. Just saying these horrible things about us. I mean, what kind of a wicked statement is that to say about a group of people that are Christians, who love the Lord, they read their Bibles, they go soul winning, you know, I mean, just, oh, they're just the most venomous, whatever. And you know what's funny? This is coming from a guy who used to be, for more than a decade, a homicide detective, right? So according to a homicide detective, the New IFBers are some of the nastiest, crudest, most unmerciful, venomous people. And I'm sure he's dealt with some really rough people back when he was a corrections officer, back when he was a homicide detective. Oh, no, no, no. It's the New IFB that are the most venomous people. Okay. He's previously stated that New IFB families are so rotten and 99% of old IFB families are better. But then when called out, it's like, oh, no, no, I wasn't talking about you. Oh, no, no, not your church. No, no, I wasn't directed at you. I wasn't directed at your pastor friends over here. No, 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 no. I was just talking about these certain people. That's a bunch of baloney. And listen, in this latest sermon where he made this statement about the NIFBers being so venomous, he also just makes a bold-faced, lying, railing accusation. I'd like to call him out right now. And I'm calling BS on his fake, railing, lying accusation. He claimed that there are a group of guys in our movement that are praying for the deaths of their ex-wives so that they can become pastors, and that their New IFB pastor just doesn't say anything about it and he just condones of it. So that's the railing accusation that was made. Now, here's what's so stupid about this is that he doesn't name the name of who he's talking about, but yet he says it's a new IFB pastor. Well, guess what? There's only like 10 of us. So we're talking about a list of like 10 people. So by saying, well, it's a new IFB pastor, but I'm not going to say who, you know what you're basically doing? You're attacking all of us. You're attacking every single one of us because now, because of your vague booking garbage, now everybody's going to be wondering like, well, who's he talking about? And some people are going to think it's me. Some people are going to think it's Pastor Jimenez. Some people are going to think it's Bruce Mejia. Some people are going to think, you go down the list, right? Some people are going to pin it on all of us because he doesn't say who it is, but he narrows it down to this tiny group of people. This way, when he gets called out for his lying garbage, he can just say, oh no, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about somebody else. Okay. Well, let me just call you out right now then. Okay. I want you to name the pastor who has multiple people in his church praying for the deaths of their ex-wives so that they can become pastors, and he's okay with that or silent about it or just looks the other way about that. Now, please don't name the church members because, you know, we shouldn't be putting people's private business out there. But you know what? You can't anyway because they don't exist. So I would challenge you, you liar. You liar. Name the pastor who has that situation in his church so we can all see what a liar you are, okay? And by the way, the Bible says, against an elder, receive not an accusation but before two or three witnesses. So, who are the two to three witnesses that told you this lie? You're claiming that there's a pastor in our movement that has multiple church. You said these guys, plural people, praying for their ex-wives to die so that they can become pastors. First of all, no pastor in this movement would think that if a divorced man's wife dies, now all of a sudden he's magically qualified to pastor. I would never ordain someone who's been divorced. Okay, that's my stand. I'm pretty sure that that's the stand that all of my friends take, but I guarantee you that none of my pastor friends would say, well, you're divorced, you can't be a pastor, but if she dies, then you can get remarried and then you can be a pastor. Nobody believes that. It's a straw man. It's a lie. It's a fraud. It doesn't exist. Second of all, the idea of praying for your ex-wife to die so that you can get remarried, that is not something that we have ever taught. That is not something that any of my friends would condone of, with one exception, is that if somebody's spouse were a for sure literal reprobate, okay? A for sure literal reprobate, like a child molester or just an open sodomite, then guess what? I've already prayed for them to die because I've already been on the record. Remember that button on the pulpit that I was going to push until my finger breaks? Okay? And guess what? We had a lady in our church many years ago whose husband was a sodomite pedophile. And I said, get away from him. He's a monster. Get away from him. You know, and you know what? I prayed for him to die. And 10 months later, he was dead of brain cancer. He's a pedophile. Okay. Obviously, every normal person wishes for pedophiles to die. Okay. But guess what? Nobody in the new IFB movement says, oh, brother, you're divorced. Pray for your ex-wife to die so that you can get remarried. And then you can become a pastor. This is a total lie. It's total garbage. And I want him to call the name of the supposed pastor who did this. He can't because he'll be shown to be a liar. Okay? But this is the kind of just railing garbage of, oh, the new IFB is so wicked. Oh, I was just talking about certain people. What if I just said Christians are the most rotten people in America? Oh, no, I was just talking about the ones that were rotten. That's a wicked statement. That's a stupid statement to make. Also, you know, while I'm on the subject, let me just bring up the fact that his whole sermon was garbage. The point of his whole sermon, he basically made sense for about 2 minutes in the sermon. Hour-long sermon, for about 2 minutes he made sense because he said, hey, you know, just because you're soul winning, that doesn't justify sin in your life. You can't use soul winning to make up for sin. It's not like a balance of a scale where like, oh, if I do good works, they'll outweigh my bad works. And so then, you know, I can like do penance by going soul winning to make up for the sins that I committed or something. Yeah, we all agree with that. We all believe that. But then he goes on to basically just yell about all of these mythical people who do all these horrific things. And then they go to every single soul winning marathon And this is just made up. Okay. And then not only that, so it's just this vague attack on the new IFB in general, just vague attack on everybody who goes to so many marathons. So I guess we're supposed to, in our minds, think back, well, who was it that goes to all the marathons? Oh, that must be the bad guy then, because he's the one who goes to all the marathons. Kind of a railing garbage is this. And then not only that, but he says in the sermon, basically, that, you know, you should get right with God first before going out soul winning. Otherwise, you're being a hypocrite when you're out there soul winning. Now, look, this has been a pet peeve of mine for literally 25 years. I kid you not. Because I remember when I was a teenager, before I even knew about soul winning, back when I'd only heard of visitation, you know, and to me, growing up, it was called visitation or witnessing. You know, I hadn't really gotten to use the term soul winning yet. I remember being as a teenager talking to my Christian friends and talking about how we needed to witness for Christ and having my Christian friends tell me, well, you know, I'm not living right, so I don't want to be a hypocrite by witnessing for Christ. And I remember explaining to these people that we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. I said, I don't care how sinful your life is. You could still tell somebody about Jesus and still tell someone how to be saved. And you're not being a hypocrite because you're not telling them that you're going to heaven because of how good you are. You're telling them that you're going to heaven because of what Jesus did, because of his blood, because he died and was buried and rose again. You know, you're telling people, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. You're telling people that by grace we are saved through faith and that not of ourselves. How could you be a hypocrite? I remember having this argument when I was literally a teenager, arguing, saying, how is it hypocritical to tell people that you're a sinner and that you deserve hell? You're admitting your sinful condition, and you're talking about being saved by grace, by trusting Jesus, a free gift. That's not hypocrisy. Now, if you believe in a work salvation, then it would be hypocritical to tell people they need to work to go to heaven, and then you're not doing the work. But folks, if we're preaching free salvation through grace, I believe that no matter how backslidden you are, no matter how sinful you are not a hypocrite when you witness to someone. Now, obviously, you're going to be way more effective as a soul winner if you get the sin out of your life, if you clean up your life. And we've all preached many sermons on having a good testimony and cleaning up our lives and how we're going to bring forth more fruit if we get the sin out of our life. But what does the Bible say? I mean, the Bible says that we bring forth fruit first, right? And then we get purged of sin. You know, it doesn't say of sin, but that's how we typically preach that passage. We get purged so that we bring forth more fruit. So the best thing for a backslidden Christian to do is to get out soul winning. Look, and if a Christian has a sinful life, why would I attack them for the one good thing that they're doing? Yeah, of course I want them to clean up their sinful life, but why would I attack them for the one good thing? Oh, you're out soul winning the way you live. I bet you read your Bible too, don't you? You big hypocrite. Why would we attack someone and tell them not to do the one thing that they're doing right? Like, you need to, you know, take that time you would have gone soul winning and clean up your life instead. It's absurd. It's garbage. Because if we go out and go soul winning, then God can do a work in our hearts and purge us and make us a better Christian anyway. But, you know, look at the woman at the well. The woman at the well had five husbands, and she was living with a dude that she wasn't married to. And you know what? She went and told the whole town about Jesus and brought the whole town to Christ. And contrary to what these repent of your sins bozos out in the you know, other type of churches would say, because I've heard this where they say, well, he dealt with her on that sin first. That's not what the story says. In John chapter 4, he brings it up and she says, oh, I perceive you're a prophet. They don't talk about it again. So it's not like she went and moved all of her boyfriend's stuff out into the driveway and then went and witnessed for Christ. No, she witnessed for Christ right away. And you know what? The whole sermon is a big wet blanket on soul winning. It's garbage to just, it's so wicked to just falsely accuse an entire group of people known as the new IFB, which is what? People who like my sermons? People who like Pastor Jimenez's sermons? You know, all of our friends, all of our church members? And to just label them as the worst ever people, even though you were a corrections officer and a homicide detective. And then to turn around and make this baseless lying accusation about a pastor in our circle claiming that he condones of this bizarre thing that is made up, that's a lie, that you don't have two witnesses for this. because it didn't even happen. You can't even name the situation. I dare you to name the pastor that you're lying about. And then, you know what? We'll ask his church members and we'll talk to them and see if there are multiple men in that church praying for their ex-wife to die so that they might become a pastor. And he brings this up several times in the sermon. He keeps coming up about to think that, and then they think they're going to be a pastor. All this stuff. It's a total fraud. You know, he's probably referring to, there's probably some person in a new IFB church somewhere, probably one person in some new IFB church somewhere whose spouse is a literal pedophile or reprobate who was praying for that person to die because they're praying an imprecatory prayer from the book of Psalms. Like there's 19 Psalms like that for the worst, horrible, most enemies of God. But no, that's not what he said. He made a totally different accusation. And you know what? Put up or shut up with this vague accusation, you liar. Anyway, beloved, the new IFB, we are the new IFB. So you want to talk smack about the new IFB? You know what? We're going to take it personally because it's us. And so quit pretending to be our friends. Quit pretending that you like us. Quit pretending that you respect us. Quit pretending all these things when you hate our ever-loving guts, as you make it clear when you get up behind the pulpit or on Facebook or wherever and say this garbage and start all this, and then you get mad when somebody hits back. Well, you know what? Go cry about it. God bless you and have a great day.